All right, welcome back to the Leadersmith podcast. It is Twitter Tuesday. I have some great quotes for you. Stay tuned.
In a world of incompetent bosses, micromanagers, and petty tyrants, one management professor claims that he can help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow. You are listening to The Leadersmith. Now, here is your host, Darren Gurdis.
Okay, so it is Twitter Tuesday. This has been a very fun thing to be doing, just to find some great leadership quotes and just talk about them. They're not in any particular sequence, and I will make sure that I've filtered out bad quotes that really shouldn't be, discussed. Or what I should do is find some really bad ones in a future episode and talk about those. But right now I'm talking about good leadership quotes and then discussing those. And I will always do my best to give credit where credit is due for the quotation. So here we go. This first one is by Uttara Park. It is at UttaraPark. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that, but she says the toughest question any leader can ask now, what if I'm wrong? And it goes to this Forbes article about, and I actually talked about this same Forbes article in episode 38 on the Leadersmith podcast, what if I'm wrong? And in the context where I talked about that was, New York City at the time had just, wiped out $1 billion out of their city budget. Just before that, they had withdrawn all the plainclothes police officers from the streets. And since then, now that was July 1 when I did that. It's now July 23rd. Crime has skyrocketed in New York City. And, people are like, well, how did that happen? What's going on? I mean, it must be the pandemic. No, I mean, you just set in motion certain actions that are, going to have a certain effect. And you have to ask yourself, what if I'm wrong? That's true anywhere. That's true in the organization. What if you're wrong? If you're the leader and you're making a decision, before you make that decision, you should ask, what if you're wrong? Okay, thank you for posting that article. It's a great question for all leaders. Number two, Matthew Overland the Twitter handle is at moverlund, M-O-V-E-R-L-U-N-D. And he said, hashtag leadership. He's quoting, he says this, progress is not achieved by luck or accident, by working on yourself daily. Absolutely right. You have to keep doing that. Now, as a leader, that's important. As an individual, that's really important as well. And leadership is not the same as individual effort and contribution. But even as a leader, you should be working on yourself daily in order to get better. If you just get a little bit better every day, you're going to have phenomenal results. So thank you, Matthew Overland. Okay, next one is Dr. Charity Enzwa O, and it's at DrCharityEzenwa. And her quote is this, quote, to add value to others, one must first value others. That's by John Maxwell. Absolutely right. And if you get that right, a lot of good things happen in leadership. Sometimes we think that in leadership, it's all about having better ideas or being charismatic or these kind of things. No, no, no. Care about others, value them, put their needs first, equip them, empower them, just help them get where they're trying to go, and it will return back to you. It's a pretty simple thing, but it's hard to do. Okay, next one. This is Rita Keller at CPA Management. That is at CPA Management. And this is a retweet of at Chris McClure, CHRIS underscore McClure, MCCLURE, saying, you can't become great without taking action. And I think she's retweeting this picture, but I don't care if it's Rita or Chris or who it is that, originally put this out there. This is great. It's a quote by Thomas Edison. And he says this, quote, vision without execution is hallucination. Vision without execution is hallucination. I think that's right. Sometimes we think about, we're going to do this and we lay these great plans and on paper, this is wonderful. But until you execute, nothing has happened. Nothing has changed until you have executed. And I think most Successful executives agree with that, that execution is pretty much everything. In fact, Patton talks about, you know, a good plan violently executed today is far better than a great plan completed next week or scheduled to be completed next week. Okay, next one. This is from Mile West Consulting at @mile_west. And they say this: when laying off an employee, do so with compassion. It'll go a long way for the individual losing their job. #leadership. And, you know, I don't know what the circumstances were there, whether he was involved in doing the laying off or he was laid off or what was going on, but you can hear the pain in that sentence. There is no reason not to treat anyone with anything less than 100% human dignity. Treat everyone with dignity. Now, even those people that are leaving the organization, treat them with dignity. And the reason that you're treating them with dignity on their going out, one, it's the right thing to do. They're individuals made in the image of God, and you treat them with dignity. But two, if you treat other people poorly, everybody else that's remaining at that organization is going to look at you and see, why did you treat them like that? And if you could treat them like that, what about me? And there's a thing called survivor sickness, where people who weren't laid off or didn't lose their job, they're in a place where they're like, you know, kind of feeling guilty and looking around and trying to think, is this the place for me? And if you treat people poorly, the best people will leave and the worst people will stay, and then you're even worse off. Okay, so you got to treat people with dignity. All right, next one. This is Sam Charles at @SamCharles. And he says this: I had a really good catch up with a colleague last week where we talked about the challenges facing our clients. One big one is the need to simultaneously lead organizations in the here and now whilst also shaping what the future. What he's saying here is you have to keep things going now, and at the same time you have to make things better in the future. And he has this this picture. It says it's like building the plane whilst you're flying the plane. And I've heard that analogy before, and I think that's a really good explanation of the tension between management and leadership, because management is generally all about the here and now and making things happen and making things work and running the trains on time, and we need to do that. But if you keep doing that, you get so locked into the status quo that you can't take the step to the next level. It's a really common tension, but you need, as a leader, to take things to the next level. Leadership is always about change. It's inherently about change. I don't need you to be a leader if all you're saying is follow me, let's do the same thing that we did yesterday, because I know how to do the same thing that we did yesterday. I need leadership to get to the next place, to get to the future. And so that's the tension, because you have to keep flying the plane, but you have to improve it so that it can go to that next level. So that's a really good quote, Sam. Thank you for sharing that on Twitter. Okay, next one. This is by Cheryl Eisenhower. It's at @SHERYL_ISENHOUR. And she says this: everything happening in an organization is either being condoned or encouraged by the leader. Now, there's no quote for who that's from. My guess is that she wrote that, and that is incredibly right. The leader is so responsible for everything going on. So if there's a culture of corruption, unless that leader is brand new and brought in from the outside, he is probably responsible, at least indirectly, for turning a blind eye. But he's probably responsible for the culture of corruption by condoning it. The message that the leader sends is so powerful, and it should not be overlooked. So everything happening in an organization is either being condoned or encouraged by the leader. And some people will push back on this and say, well, how can you say that, you know, that the leader's responsible for that, or, you know, he doesn't know everything that's going on. It's a huge organization, thousands of employees. Yeah, he might not know about the minutia of it, right? I mean, he might not know about, you know, every detail of it, but you send a message by what you do and the stances that you take. And if your messages are simply, we need to make more money, you're asking them to cut corners, as opposed to we need to value our people and provide quality and let the profits reflect how we are valuing and being providing quality goods and things along those lines. So he can indirectly at least condone things and very often overtly encourage things that shouldn't be done. So great point. Thank you, Cheryl, for sharing that. Okay, next one. This is by Juho Harme at Juho Harme. He says this: when you own up to your faults, you show your team members that it's okay to fail. Take on the perspective that failure is an opportunity to grow, and your team will start to do the same. And this is related to an article, 8 Things Leaders Do That Make Employees Quit, in Harvard Business Review. But let's just look at the quote again. Okay, if you own up to your faults, you show your team members a very valuable lesson. Hey, I have faults too. Now they're not hiding it. Now you have taken back the veil, because very often leaders try to pretend like they have all the answers, and then they cut themselves off from information that they need. But if you own up to your faults, you make it okay for them to fail, and we can have honest conversations. If you can't have honesty in your organization, you're lost. Okay, so thank you, Juho Harme, for sharing that. Next one, this is from Ron McIntyre at RonMCI on Twitter. Okay, it says, leadership bite. Employees are not, all caps, employees are not an externally renewable resource which can be continually exploited or made expendable. Attitudes of arrogance, distrust, and disrespect trigger that attitude. You know, Ron, you're so right. I've seen many organizations that treat employees like they can just chew them up and spit them out, and I'll get a new one. And, you know, if you don't like it, go somewhere else. That's not the best way to get the most out of your people. And very often, you know, that we just talked a couple of things ago about everything happening in an organization is either being condoned or encouraged by the leader. Here, this is the attitude of the leader is being expressed, and you can see that in how people react. It's to the point where I can look around an organization and I can tell a lot about the leader by the way people behave, whether the people like it there or not, whether they are doing their job or just biding their time. Employees are not externally renewable resources which can be exploited. If you have a mentality that you're exploiting your people, something is very, very fouled up with your understanding of what leadership actually is. They're not machine parts. They're human beings made in the image of God. Treat them that way, and they will reward you. Again, I say this many episodes. If you have my back, you get my heart. That's the way it works. That's the high road to productivity. It is not by measuring how much time they're spending in their seat or, you know, doing other things. That's distrustful, and that disrespect is just, it's poisonous. It's toxic to the organization. Okay, next one. This is by Dan Rockwell at Leadership Freak. I think I talked about Leadership Freak last time as well. I love the name Leadership Freak. He says this: the stress I feel is intensified by rowing alone. Instead of inviting people in, I'm inclined to close them out. You row the boat alone because you choose to be alone. Make stress an invitation to include others. Dan, that is so profound. Okay, so when you're feeling that stress, that's a time where you start to say, hey, who wants to come along and help on this? And that's very different than you just trying to, you know, make it all work alone. Dan, a lot of leaders would be helped by taking that advice. You rowed the boat alone because you choose to row alone. Now, you can't always have people come around you, but to the degree that you can involve people in the process and they can strengthen your arm so that you can get the work done, that's the optimal way of getting where you want to go. Okay, that's all that I have for today. Thank you for listening on this Twitter Tuesday, and I hope that these provide great food for thought to help you become the kind of leader that you would want to follow.